2. As we get into the second chapter of 2 Peter, it explicitly starts to talk about the dangers of false teaching. We've already seen hints at this, that there seem to be those who, we do know from 2 Peter, there were those who were questioning the coming of the Lord. And that was hinted at in chapter 1. But here as we get into chapter 2, we see that there's this specific reference to false teaching. And false teaching is something that the church has had to deal with from its earliest of days. I mean, if you read 1 John, for example, 1 John was our scripture reading, part of 1 John this morning. And if you read 1 John, you find out that there's warnings about those who are denying that Jesus came in the flesh. Or, for example, if you read 3 John, you find that there's warnings about a man who loves to have diatrophies, who loves to have the preeminence, right? And could you imagine that? John is the last living apostle. And here's a man who's a pastor of a church who forbids the last living apostle to come and preach to his congregation or address his congregation because he doesn't want to lose his status as the pastor. All right, there's obviously some serious issues going on there. But also you had serious issues with people denying things, for example, about Jesus actually having taken on humanity. That was actually more common to deny than the deity of Jesus in the early days. But there are all kinds of forms that false teachings take, and we're not immune to them today. For some reason, America has been a place that has been especially fruitful, I think because of freedom of religion. I'm not criticizing freedom of religion, but because of it, it has been especially fruitful for the growth of false teachings. And those false teachings, I mean, if you think about it, some of the things that we would call cults, you know, sects that are really, you know, have wrong views of Jesus and about the Bible and other things, many of them got their beginnings in the United States. Mormonism, the Jehovah's Witnesses, those kinds of things all come from the United States. Scientology, Christian Science, a lot of these things, Seventh-day Adventists. Now, I don't think Adventists are a cult, but they teach the wrong way of salvation. They add works to faith in salvation, which is a wrong teaching. And so you have false teachings out there, and many, many of them were proliferated here in the United States. And it's not hard to turn on the television and find false teachers. You know, sometimes they have initials like Joyce Meyer. Oh, I've said the whole name, didn't I? I'm being silly, but fact is, you know, they have names that are well known, and Joel Osteen and others whose names, I mean, these are common names of people you will see on TV, but yet they don't believe what the Bible teaches. They don't preach the Bible. They have wrong views about the authority of Scripture. They have wrong views about the gospel. They have wrong views about Christian living. Let's not neglect this either, that part of false teaching is wrong teaching about Christian living. That was considered false teaching in the first century. All right, so if you have a church out there teaching things that it's okay for Christians to do things that universally the New Testament and the Old Testament have forbidden, and I'm not talking about things that, you know, are cultural, that, you know, maybe one group of Christians from one time to another, I realize Christians have had different views on some things over the years. I'm not talking about those kind of debatable things or things that maybe were cultural expressions. So, for example, let me give an example of this. When Adoniram Judson and his wife, Nancy, arrived in Burma, eventually, pretty quickly, they started to dress like the Burmese. Well, the way a Burmese woman dressed was she wore a long skirt that came to the mid-calf, and then she wore a tunic over that, and it was very long, flowing, and modest clothing. But yet, when rumor got back to America that Nancy Judson's ankles were showing in Burma, back in a day when women wore skirts that dragged down the ground, that was scandalous that a Christian woman would dress so immodestly. Now, obviously, that's a cultural application of modesty, okay? I do think there are some things that are inherently immodest, right? There's some clothing that you just can't rescue it and make it modest, okay? If that makes sense. And let's say this as well. The Bible clearly teaches Christians are to dress modestly. And the opposite of modest, remember, is proud. So modesty isn't just about what it's going to incite desires in other people. Because sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes, and I don't mean to be crude here, but sometimes the guy working on the side of the road digging a ditch who needs to pull his pants up, he's immodest too, and there's nothing attractive about that. Okay? But yet that's still a Christian virtue that you have some shame about things and some concern about some things, about covering yourself up and those kinds of things. All right, but you have Christians out there today that refuse to teach that people need to dress modestly. Or you have Christians out there today that refuse to teach biblical morals. That you'll find, I know a young man, he was attending a church, and he liked the church, but he noticed that over the weeks that there was a man, and the man would show up one week with one woman and another week with another woman. And he went to the pastor and he said, he sits next to that woman. Is one his wife and who's the other one? And the pastor said, yeah, one of them's his wife, the other's his girlfriend, and he comes every other week with one of them. And the man said, hasn't the church called the man to repentance on this? And the pastor said, well, no, I don't want to lose members. Well, you need to preach biblical truth. Okay? And so that's as much a false teaching as denying that Jesus came in the flesh. Okay? It doesn't have the same theological implications, but it's as much a false teaching. To teach that marriage doesn't matter is as much of a false teaching as to teach that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. So there's various areas in which there can be false teachings, and we're not short of false teachers in our day and age. In fact, what I would tell you is if there's a lot of people watching them on TV, there's a high likelihood that they're false teachers. And I'm not saying them being popular on TV means they're false teachers. Okay, there are at times people who are on television who are not false teachers. But a lot of them are. And even people who maybe on certain areas wouldn't seem as much as false teachers. But for example, you have a man named John Hagee. Maybe some of you have seen John Hagee on TV. Well, when you hear him preach salvation through Christ, it sounds right. But you know, John Hagee believes that Jewish people don't have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven as long as they're faithful Jews. Well, that's a false teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus is their Messiah. They need to have faith in their Messiah. So that's a false teaching. Okay? So there are many times that people on television, the way they get a big following is by talking so vaguely that they don't offend anybody. And if you talk too specifically, then it's hard to raise enough money to stay on television. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying everyone on television is a false teacher, but do be very careful with those who are television preachers, okay? Because there's you'll do better on the radio, but the radio still isn't a guarantee, all right? Just because they're on the radio instead of television doesn't mean they're not false teachers. So Peter here warns the Christians that he's writing to, but there were false prophets also among the people. Okay? In the ancient world, were there false prophets? Yes, we have a man named Pashur who contradicts Jeremiah's prophecies. All right, Jeremiah prophesies. The Lord tells Jeremiah, tell the people the Babylonians are coming and judgment is coming. And this false prophet said, Jeremiah doesn't speak for God, I do. And God's temple is here and we're God's people. This won't happen to us. Well, that's a false prophet, right? Guess what? Guess which prophecy came true? The true one, all right? And there were tests in the Old Testament. You know how to tell if somebody's a false prophet. First of all, if what they say contradicts already known scripture, what God has already said, then it's a false prophet. All right? So, and that's true today. If somebody's out there and they're saying something that's contrary to the Bible, then they're a false teacher. Second, even if what they say, if they prophesy something and it doesn't happen, if they say, this is going to happen on this date and it doesn't happen, they're a false prophet. And we have people that do that today. Okay? You know, I make jokes about this because it's so long ago that it's obviously false. But I remember the book, which was a Christian bestseller at the time, 88 Reasons Jesus is going to Return in 1988. Well, that was false teaching. They made a prediction that was wrong. Okay? I think they based it on Psalm 88 somehow, if I remember right. All right, if you're wrong like that, you should never publish another Christian book. Don't come out with 89 reasons why he's coming in 89. Okay? So if you're wrong about, you say God said something and it doesn't happen, then you didn't speak for God, because if God said it, it would have happened. Third, and that is that they call you to worship false gods. That's what the book of Deuteronomy warns against. But here's the interesting thing, and what that's saying is, they're calling you to turn away from following the Lord. That's obviously going to be a sign of a false prophet. And today we have people who are out there who are telling Christians not to live like Christians. That's not much different. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who will privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now he talks in the future, there will be. And I don't think he's saying that there aren't false teachers, because he's already aware of some. I think what he's doing is he's making reference, there were false prophets, and he's making reference to the fact that Jesus had prophesied, had said, that there would be false teachers. In other words, he's making allusion. Jesus in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew says that there's going to be false prophets. They're going to say, the Messiah is here, the Messiah is there, whatever. There are going to be false teachers. And Peter had just talked about seeing the Lord in chapter 1 and the glory of Christ being revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration. And notice the contrast here. Verse 21, prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There are prophecies and words from God. All right? There were prophets and apostles who spoke for God. But also be aware of this. Just because someone speaks for God doesn't mean you have to listen to them. Some of them are liars. And you need to test the spirits, is what he's telling these people. Okay? In other words, if you were Satan, wouldn't it be and you don't want people to listen to God, you can do it a couple of ways. You can try to discredit what God has said and say, did God really say you can't eat from the tree, any tree in the garden? And there are people that do that today. Did God really speak? I mean, come on. This old book, this Bronze Age book, you think that's from God? I mean, we have people in our culture who talk like that, right? But you know, the other thing you can do is you can flood in so much information that nobody knows what's from God and what's not. I mean, that's what we deal with the internet these days, right? The problem with the internet is not that we lack information. Most people in this room probably have access to the internet, and many of you have it in your pocket in a smartphone. As we've often laughed, you know, I've often said in sermons that you can look up almost every known human fact on your smartphone, and we watch cat videos. Right? We spend our time watching silliness. And that's fine, right? But the fact is, you know, we have this treasure trove. I mean, it's got more information than any human library ever assembled. And we can get to it on our cell phones. But yet, you know what? It's also full of a bunch of lies. And so the problem is there's so much information that you have to try to figure out what's true and false. And people, I feel like, when I see what some people post on Facebook, I feel like they just quit trying to figure that out. They just figure, it's on the internet. We're good to go. Right? They just put whatever out there. And obviously, you know, that it's. I'm not asking you to fact check everything you can. You know, that's not your job in the world. I just would be cautious about things. Just because it's on Facebook doesn't mean, and a friend shared it, doesn't mean that it's true. Your friend was probably well-intentioned, but it could be nonsense that they shared. All right? And, you know, we have so much falsehood that it's hard to pick out, and people have lost the ability in many cases, or even stopped trying to try to figure out what's true and false. What we do here, this is my observation, is we've defaulted to, is it on my side? If this statement on the internet is on my side, then I will, you know, share it. It doesn't matter if it's true. If it's on the other side, then it's obviously false. And so we've taken sides. That's what happens when you give up truth, then you just have party lines. You just say, I'm in this group and my group says this. And I'm in this group and my group says this. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so what happens is truth is defined by my group rather than by God. And that's what has happened on the internet today. So that, you know, and especially in our postmodern world where we've given up the idea of truth, I mean, by and large, people are like, well, that's good for me, and that's good for you, and we're not worried about what's really true, what's just true for me. Well, that's nonsense. You can't have truth that's not true, or just true for a particular individual. All truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth. That's very important, okay? And so we need to be very careful. But think about this. If you're Satan and you want to discredit what God has said, you can either directly attack it, or you can say, you know what? I'll flood people with a bunch of false claims of speaking for God, and it will confuse them, which is like what I've been saying about the internet. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I don't have anybody in mind when I'm saying you've shared things. I'm just saying just be careful, and there's a legitimate place to have disagreement about things, okay, and open discussion. So if you post something on the internet that disagrees with somebody else, I don't care. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just illustrating the fact that when you put a million facts out there and half of them aren't true, it's hard to know what should be paid attention to. And when you put a million prophecies out there and most of them aren't true, it's hard to know where God spoke. And that's exactly what Satan tries to do with false prophecy, with false teaching. Tell somebody, person speaks for God, but tell them what they want to hear, and they'll listen to that person rather than the one who's saying what's hard to hear from God. You know, the false teachers never talk about judgment as one of the key things. You're not going to hear Joel Osteen talk about God's judgment, ever. He's going to tell you how you can have your best life now. And as one well-known preacher said, if your best life is now, you're unsaved. Because your best life's in eternity. But notice what these false teachers privately bring in. It uses the word heresies here, and we use this word this way, but these are false teachings. They're lies. Condemnable, damnable lies. In other words, they secretly bring them in. Why? Because if they brought them in openly, they would be caught. They do it slowly and in a sneaky way to bring in what's false. All right? And many denominations that have become modernistic, and by that what I mean, they no longer believe the Bible. They basically believe what the rest of the world believes, but they call themselves Christian. Many of those denominations, that's exactly how this happened. It happened slowly and secretly. You had people who didn't believe what Christianity always believed, and they hid the fact that they didn't believe it, but they started to teach their false teaching. All right? I mean, that's the history of the United Methodists, Presbyterian Church USA, Episcopalians, etc. And that's not to say that there aren't believers who are Presbyterian or Methodist or Episcopalian. That's not my point. My point is those big mainline old denominations are by and large have been taken over by modernists who don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the gospel. They don't believe in the exclusivity of Jesus. They don't believe any of those things. The gospel that's preached, they're embarrassed by. What do they believe? They believe in what the world believes in. Okay? They preach the same thing the world preaches. They don't believe that God sent His Son, the second person of the triune Godhead, the Son, took on humanity. All right? I mean, it's not an unusual thing. It's not a very, very common thing. But it's not an unusual thing to find some mainline denomination pastors who are atheists. They're not even sure God exists. But they think religion is a helpful sociological tool. So you're supposed to be a Christian minister, but you don't believe in the existence of God? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, but there are people out there like that. Or you have some who, you know, they would say, well, you know, Jesus of Nazareth was a good man and a teacher, but he wasn't God in flesh. And he certainly wasn't born of a virgin. That's just an old superstition. This is the kind of stuff they think. All right? But they do believe in Earth Day, which has deep Christian roots. Just kidding. I mean, seriously, they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, but they do believe in Pride Month and things like that. And they've sneaked these things in over the years. They deny the Lord that bought them. Jesus died on the cross to save people from their sins. And these people who are claiming to speak for God are denying the greatest fact in the universe. What greater thing is there for a teacher or a prophet to proclaim than Christ and Him crucified and risen? There isn't anything greater than that. That's the gospel. That's the good news. What do you have to proclaim if you don't believe the good news is good news? Now, I do recognize that the good news of the gospel means we have to tell people that they're lost. But there's, by and large, a lot of even people who claim to be evangelicals, which is supposed to mean gospel preaching, who won't tell people they're lost sinners. But the fact is, the Bible tells us that every one of us has rebelled against God. Every one of us is a sinner. I know that's not a popular word these days, but every one of us has done what is wrong and has rebelled against God. We've tried to live life our own way. I've often said Frank Sinatra's song, "I Did It My Way," is like the anthem of human autonomy, right? He doesn't say in that song, "I wish, you know, that I did it God's way." He says, "You know, I don't have any regrets. I lived life my way." That's a very much worldly thinking song in the message. Very much worldly thinking song. And here is, you know, that's not a whole lot different than most people think. They may not be that bold about it, but they think, you know, "I'm going to live my life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do." And they may not say it out loud, but that's how they live. And the fact is, that brings condemnation on all of us. And the only hope we have is Christ, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God sent the Son to take on humanity. He's born in a manger to the Virgin Mary. He's God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. And being fully God and fully man, he perfectly obeyed his Heavenly Father, unlike us. We are under condemnation for our sin. And I say that we, it doesn't matter that I'm a pastor. If I had to stand before God on my own merits, I would be condemned. The only hope I have is in Jesus Christ. And God sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty of our sins on the cross. He is the redemption for our sins. He's the one who bought us by his death on the cross. And he died. But the good news of the gospel also tells us that he lives. He rose again. On that first day of the week, he came out of the grave. It was not possible for death to keep him. And he ever lives and makes intercession for us. And that those who come in repentant faith, they turn from sin. Repentance, I don't mean penance. I don't mean doing good things. I don't mean making my life better. I don't mean making myself acceptable to God. I cannot do that. Salvation does not come by works. It comes by faith in what Christ accomplished. And I turn from that former loyalty to self and sin, and I say the only hope I have is faith in Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? These false teachers were denying that. They're denying that Lord who bought them. They're traitors to the Lord who bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, I understand this word swift destruction, this phrase, to be an idiom that means certain destruction. Okay? In other words, it's certain. I mean, a false teacher might live a long life. It's not saying they'll die young. They may live a long life, but their destruction is certain. Okay? They are increasing their condemnation because they have multiplied followers to themselves and they're leading others astray. That's what verse 2 says. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. There are going to be many people who follow them. All right? And we can see that today. Again, you know, there people have itching ears and they want to hear somebody claim to speak for God and tell them what they want to hear. They want to hear people say, "God said this." You know what you already believe? God agrees with you. That's not what we need to hear. We need to hear what God actually said and determine that we need to agree with God. Not be told that God agrees with me. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And because of these people, because many times they're greedy and immoral and untruthful, it causes the gospel to be reflected on poorly. Because you know what? An unbeliever, and by that I mean somebody who doesn't claim to be a Christian at all, doesn't know the difference between a faithful preacher of the gospel and a false teacher. They just know they both say they're Christians, right? And what does it do to the gospel? It causes people to question the gospel. People who aren't gospel believers to say, "See, that's what we thought." That's what we thought. That's what we thought of Christians, of course. Because it's really hard for people who don't understand the gospel to imagine that there are people out there who genuinely believe it. I mean, we see this like in the media. They just can't understand. Have you ever seen the portrayals of Christians on television? They can't figure it out. They're like, nobody really thinks that, really. They have to have some ulterior motive for thinking these things. They must be just mean people who are using Christianity to abuse others or something, or to get money or to do other things. And that's the only thing that makes sense to them. They can't understand that somebody would love Christ and would govern their life according to that. That they just don't know that that exists out there. Because they live in this insulated anti-Christian bubble in the media. And so to them it doesn't make any sense. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. So what are they doing? Why are these people religious leaders? They're religious leaders for the purpose of getting money. And we know there are a lot of false teachers out there who become very proficient at that. Okay, to the point where, you know, they're on television and they say, you know, in order to serve the Lord, I really need the nicest private jet that money can buy. I didn't make that up. That has happened. Okay? People have actually done that and said, in order to serve the Lord, I really need the nicest private jet that money can buy. That'll help me serve the Lord, but I can't keep flying around in coach. I have a feeling they probably weren't flying coach before that. Business class? Are you kidding? How could I do that? That old jet that I have? That's 10 years old. I need a new one. All right? I have no problem if the Lord blesses someone that is, you know, a businessman or something, and they have the ability to go and buy a nice jet, and the Lord blesses them, and they serve the Lord faithfully. But you don't preach the gospel for the purpose of getting a private jet, or pretend to preach the gospel. And that's exactly what the false teachers do today. And in their day, it wasn't that different. They were doing it to make merchandise of people, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. What do we see here? That again, their condemnation is coming. We're going to see in chapter 3, they don't believe it, but their condemnation is coming. You see, part of Christianity is recognizing the fact that the gospel means living for eternity, means valuing things that aren't just about here and now. If I just value the here and now, then the gospel doesn't make any sense. I mean, if I don't believe that there's a time that I have to answer to God and that I have a choice between eternal life or condemnation, if I don't believe those things are true, then the gospel's silly. It's just silly, and it doesn't make any sense to try to follow Christ. In other words, I might as well just go enjoy life because it's just here and gone. But if I have to answer to God someday, that will completely change the way I approach life, doesn't it? It will completely change the way I approach life. And so the Lord calls us to recognize that there are those out there who are false teachers, who are motivated by false motives, money, immorality, other things, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Condemnation is coming on them. And we need to be careful, because if you follow them, you can get caught in their condemnation. Okay, you can get caught in their condemnation. That requires us to have a knowledge of the Word of God so we can tell when people are saying things that are clearly unbiblical. I'm not talking about things that Christians disagree on over the years. I recognize there are things that Christians disagree on. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that baptizing an infant counts as baptism. But I also recognize the fact that there are people who are saved people who think that. Okay? I think that's a misunderstanding. But on the other hand, people who deny that the Bible is the Word of God, people who deny that Jesus is the Son of God, people who deny that Jesus is God, people who deny that Jesus took on humanity, people who deny that Jesus' death on the cross is sufficient to pay for sins, people who deny that Jesus is the only way, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved, those people are false teachers. And we need to exercise wisdom. And the problem is that these false teachers are slick and they sound really good. And they talk God talk that sounds really good. And we need to exercise wisdom and recognize that what we need to do is cling to the truth of the Word of God to His Word. This is also the value of a local body. And that is, what do you really know about Joel Osteen? Only what you see on TV, which is edited television. But what do you know about people in this room? A lot more. You can go to their house. You can see them, you know, all the time. You can talk with them. You know a lot more about them. Again, the part of the value of a local church is that it reveals more. It reveals more. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're immune from false teaching, but when you just can something to put it on television, you can portray things in ways that cover up. Okay? And that's exactly what often happens. So we need to be cautious, because there are false teachers out there, and this book of Peter is going to warn about that. We need to exercise discernment. I don't know everyone here. I've tried to be clear with the gospel this morning. Maybe there's someone with us this morning who's never come to faith in Christ. You don't know for sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven. You don't know. You don't have a peace that you have a right relationship with God. Please, after this service is over, you can find me. You can find Daniel. He led our singing. We will take you to someone, or we will take you aside ourselves, and we'll show you from the Bible how you can know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Maybe there's someone in here who there's a spiritual need. You, as you've been hearing this sermon, the Lord has, you know, convicted you about the fact that maybe there's things that you're listening to or hearing or watching on television that you probably need to just turn off. Just because it says it's Christian doesn't mean you should watch it or listen to it. You'd be better off to get your Bible out and read it. And let me say this, there's lots of good Christian things out there, okay? You can go on websites like Sermon Audio, where our sermons are, and find lots of faithful preachers. You can go on places, you know, and find podcasts and other things to find lots of faithful Christian teaching. I know that takes a little more work, but just because it's on television or on the radio and says it's Christian doesn't mean you listen to it uncritically without using biblical discernment. And the Lord calls on us to do that because we can be deceived by false teachers. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father,